It has been a long time since David and Peter and some others approached me and said, would you be able to provide some images that we could show during the playing of the planets? This is done sometimes. I've heard of other symphonies doing this, and it tends to be during the Jupiter movement they show Jupiter, and during the Saturn movement they show Saturn. And the movements are 6 or 8 minutes long, and that's a long time to look at any given planet. So we talked about coming up with some alternatives of things that might be a little more visually interesting. Not that the music needs anything else. I think the music itself is interesting enough. But it is nice, since we do have these fabulous images that our tax dollars have paid for from NASA, it's really nice that we can see those while the music is playing.
And how do you narrow down between all these beautiful images? I mean, what was your criteria for picking them?
Well, so I should say, we decided not to just show Jupiter during Jupiter and Saturn during Saturn. We're telling the life history of stars, because planets and moons come along when stars are born. Stars are born, they live, and they die, and then they seed the space around them with the material for the next generation of stars. So we're going to tell that story. So I first of all said, okay, what images do I need to tell about the dying of stars, about the living of stars, about the next generation? So I had a thread that I tried to keep with. And I looked for things that told the story that I was after, but in a rather different way. That is, ones that weren't necessarily the ones that are out there that NASA always shows when they, they have an anniversary of the Hubble or something. They've got a set of images they like to show for that. I used some of those, but I also went for ones that were a little less well-known.
And as far as telling that story, having mm-hmm. that thread, how did you then match the arc, if you will, of your story to the music?
That was a problem. Because the music starts out, the way Holst wrote it, is starting out with Mars. He does not go sequentially from the sun outward in planets. He started with Mars, the bringer of war. This is a theme that a lot of people will recognize. It's often used in science fiction movies. But it's very intense and very dramatic. And if I was going to start with these gas clouds drifting lazily in space, that didn't really fit. But then, and I was struggling with this for weeks, then finally I had an idea that since it's a cycle of star life, star death, star birth, rebirth, since it's a cycle, you can enter that cycle anywhere. So what I thought is, okay, since the Mars movement is first and it's very dramatic and very intense, I'll do the death of the previous generation of stars during that. Once that fell into place, the others just came right as they needed to.
When you listen to the planets, mm-hmm. it's got a very mystical quality it to
does.
It as well. How do you think the imagery works with the music and sort of expressing sort of the mysticism of space and our fascination with it?
Almost perfectly. As you probably know, Holst was not writing a literal description of Mars when he wrote the Mars movement or Jupiter. First of all, we didn't have spacecraft images in those days. And while Earth-bound telescopes can take reasonably good pictures of, say, Jupiter or Saturn or Mars, some of the other planets look like little dots, even in the really big telescopes. And now we think of Neptune as a big blue sphere, or Saturn's rings, we know all the details. That wasn't true in the 19-teens when Holst was writing this. So he wasn't trying to depict the planets literally. Everything I've read about Holst, which is not a great deal, but I did my research before I did anything on this project, and everything I read about Holst indicated he was just trying to do exactly what you said, trying to convey the mysticism and wonder of the universe through music. He was not trying to say Jupiter's theme will sound like this. So that gave me carte blanche. I figured, okay, once he was trying to communicate the mystery and wonder of space, that means I can find images that fit the music and fit within that thread. And I think we've been successful, but I guess it's going to be up to the audience to judge that.
As a professor, do you hope that the audience will come away not just being entertained, but learning something?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because one thing we decided early on, and I have to thank the people at the Symphony and the Now Device for helping me focus on this, but the tendency, especially for a professor, is you put the image up, and then you put a little text to describe it, and then you go, oh, you know what? I could put the whole, and now you've got a PowerPoint presentation, right? And we wanted to get completely away from that. So we have absolutely minimal text there, which means that this thread I've got in mind of how these things all sequence after one another may not be immediately obvious to everyone sitting there. However, what we've done is we've scheduled a series of events afterwards. Here at the observatory at Wittenberg, we have some open houses. We've got some special lectures planned. So the people who really do want to know more about what was that exact image and how did that follow this one, they're going to be able to do that after the concert. But during the concert, we want them sitting back, listening to the music, and watching the images a little more the side of the brain that appreciates art as compared to the side that's saying, ooh, that little jet of gas must indicate that this is a magnetic field. More of the former than the latter. You know, there's no wrong way to come to this performance. If you want to come totally not expecting, that is, not having done any research, just coming and experiencing the music, the images, the dramatic readings, that's fine. If you want to know more about the kinds of images that are going to be shown, the objects that are going to be depicted, the people whose words are being read, there's an online student's guide. And if they go to the symphony website, people can read parts of that student guide, which I prepared specifically to relate to the images and the readings that they're going to hear. So you can come in fully prepared, having done your research and understanding, yes, well, a planetary nebula doesn't really involve planets. Or you can come in just saying, I'm going to have an audio-visual dramatic experience and see what it is. No wrong way to come.
Thank you so much.
Very happy to help.